Let's all bow together, please, and we will unite our hearts in prayer before the Lord. And let's all seek His face, looking to Him for His blessing and His help tonight as we gather here in this New Year's Eve service, and looking to Him for the time that's before us in the will of the Lord as we enter into a new year. Our God and our gracious Heavenly Father, we bless Thee this evening for gathering us here in the house of God, for bringing us together in this fashion to sing Thy praise, to lift up our hearts to Thee in thanksgiving and in prayer, to offer unto Thee our gratitude and our thankfulness for all Thy mercies and for Thy great grace that has been our portion during a year that has gone by. We thank Thee for every believer in this company, everyone who therefore is able to say with assurance, "My times are in Thy hand." We thank Thee, Lord, that we are indeed a blessed people, that God's people, often it is said in Thy word, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And we praise Thee for that covenant relationship that has been established by grace alone and upon the basis of the merit of Christ alone through His finished work between God and people whom He has called by His own name. We thank Thee, O Lord, for that time when free grace did awaken us and bring us out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel. We praise Thee for keeping us down through the time that has passed since that moment when we were brought to know Christ. And we bless Thee, O Father, for Thy hand that has been upon us during another year that has gone by. Lord, we are creatures of time. Our lives are marked and controlled by the calendar, by the clock, by the passing of the years, the months, the days, all these different segments of time that we follow as we need to order our lives. And Lord, we rejoice that in every moment that has gone by, Thy people have been kept by the power of God. We thank Thee that Thou hast met every need, Thou hast supplied all our wants, Thou hast come graciously and mercifully, and Thou hast ministered unto us in an abundant fashion. And Lord, we give Thee all the praise and all the glory. And Lord, as has been voice tonight already in this house in our season of prayer, how we thank Thee for the many spiritual blessings that we have enjoyed even over this past year right here in this place and under the preaching of Thy word. And as we have gathered ourselves together to hear that word and to seek Thee in prayer, we have known Thy blessing and Thy goodness and Thy grace. And O Lord, we thank Thee for those who have been brought to the Savior, and we thank Thee for believers built up in their faith and strengthened and encouraged. And, O God, we therefore pause to give Thee all the glory and all the praise for all that Thou hast done. Lord, we remember all our families, all those who are connected with this congregation, and those, Lord, especially who have suffered over the year gone by, bereavement, sorrow, travail, afflictions of various kinds. Lord, Thou hast brought them through. Thou hast ministered to their hearts. Yea, Lord, there are some who this very evening are still going through times of affliction and sorrow. No, God, we do pray that Thou wilt remember them all. Thou wilt bless, as Thou hast already done. Give that grace, O God, that is abundant, that grace that never fails, that grace that is sufficient for every situation and every time that we face and every circumstance that we pass through. Lord, be with us as we enter into a new year in Thy will. O Lord, go with us, we pray. Thou art the God who leads His people like a flock. Thou art the one who is our shepherd. And we rejoice that the time before us in this year that is unknown to us as far as what it will bring is concerned, is known to Thee. Thou art the God of eternity. from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. Nothing will take thee by surprise. All will occur according to the counsel of Him who works all things after the counsel of His own blessed will. So, Lord, we therefore commend our ways to Thee. Bless us and go with us. Take us up and use us for Thy glory and for the honor and the praise of Thy great and gracious and holy name. And, O Lord, we do pray that in this meeting Thou wilt bless the word to our hearts. We pray that Thou wilt touch every soul. We pray, Lord, that a word will be brought that will meet the need of every heart. We pray for those among us who may yet be unconverted, coming to the end of this year and on the threshold of a new year and still without Christ. We pray that the Spirit of God will bring that home to them, that even this night Thou wilt graciously draw such to Thyself and give grace to repent, turning to Christ and resting in Him, seeking Him as He is presented and set before the mind and the heart in the gospel of Thy grace. O Lord, use the preaching of Thy word, glorify Thy name, and exalt Thy blessed Son. Abide with us now, draw near, we pray. Bless every part of this meeting, the reading of the word, the preaching of it. Our sister, as she brings the word and song, we pray, Lord, that in everything Thou wilt be glorified and Christ will be exalted, for we ask this for His sake and for His eternal praise. Amen and amen. I'd like us to read together that great psalm at this point, psalm number 31. Please turn in your Bible to that very place and let us read the Word of God there, Psalm number 31. And we'll read from the first verse, Psalm 31 and verse 1. Let us hear God's Word. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. Bow down Thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be Thou my strong rock, for an house of defence to save me. For Thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for Thou art my strength. Into Thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in Thy mercy, for Thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in Thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make my face to shine upon Thy servant. Save me for Thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon Thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly contemptuously against the righteous. O, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful, and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. And God will add his blessing to the reading of this, his own infallible and precious word. Again, may I welcome you all to this annual New Year's Eve service. We are glad that you have come this evening and that the Lord has enabled us to come to the house of God and meet here for a season of fellowship and a time of giving our minds to the Word of God as we come to the close of one year and in the Lord's will enter into a new year. Of course, our time zone is different from other parts of the world, and others already in the new year. It just depends where you are. And 2003 doesn't come in every part of the world at the same time. It really has arrived in some places. But for us, it's still about 40 minutes away, and in the will of God, we'll come to that moment when we enter into 2003. And what a joy it is to be able to greet the new year in the house of God, around the Word of God, before the Lord's throne and in his holy presence. And we trust that God will meet with us tonight and bless us here. We welcome each of you who has come and all who are visiting with us in this service tonight. We're very glad to see you here, and I trust the Lord will bless each one and bless each individual. As I look to my right, I see two young people from South Africa. Am I right? My cousin's two children, whom I've never met. We're very glad to see them here this evening, and I trust the Lord will bless them. They're here with my uncle and aunt, their grandparents, and they are a nephew and niece of my brother Robert Sands. So we're glad to see them here tonight, and we welcome them. I trust the Lord will be with them and bless them, and bless all who are here tonight visiting in this service, and that the Lord will do us good as we consider his word together. Remember, please, the meetings at the weekend, they will take place at the regular times. Next Lord's Day will be the first Sunday of the new year in the will of God, and I will be bringing messages from God's word to get us off, as it were, into the new year. So remember the services on the Lord's Day, as well as the Sunday school time, the Bible classes. Remember all of these meetings. You will be most welcome. Those who are visiting tonight, if you wish to come on the Lord's Day to any of the services, you will be very welcome, and we look forward to seeing you here on the Sabbath day. Let's take our Bibles and turn to that Psalm, please, Psalm number 31. Before we look at the verse, which is verse 15, the opening words of that verse, we will just bow together again and have a word of prayer. Let's all seek the Lord's face. Let's pray that he will visit us tonight and bless us here. We pray that the Lord will speak to your heart and that he will draw near to all of us. Our Father, we bless thee that we, thy people, who know thee, who are saved by thy grace, are indeed upon redemption ground, the ground of peace and acceptance with God. And we pray that as we now come to the Word and consider it, thou wilt bless it to our souls, encourage the saints, build them up in the faith, speak to those who need the Lord. Lord, Thou knowest the need of every heart, and we pray that Thou wilt meet that need this evening. Abide with us now. Grant the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Grant the power and the presence of God. For all of this we pray in our Savior's name and for our Savior's sake. Amen. Psalm number 31 and the verse 15. The psalmist says, "My times are in Thy hand." We have a point like this when we stand at the end of one year and upon the threshold of another. There should be in the mind of every right-thinking person a spirit of thoughtfulness and a spirit of contemplation with regard to his or her times. It is clear from the words of this text that the psalmist David was dwelling much upon the subject of his times. Notice with me how he expresses himself on this topic. He says, "My times are in Thy hand." Notice here that he uses the plural. He says, "My times are in Thy hand." David is speaking in a broad fashion. He is not merely dwelling upon hours or days in referring to his times, but instead he is actually focusing on all of the circumstances of his life at that particular juncture that is in view when he wrote this psalm. He's referring to all the events which had rolled over his head and were continuing to be his lot in his life at that particular time. The various happenings that in quick and rapid succession were passing by him and carrying him onwards throughout his life. All of this is in his mind and upon his heart as he speaks here of his times. Now this word times not only speaks of the plurality of circumstances that David was in, but it also speaks of the mutability or the changeableness that the people of God themselves have to confront as they go through life. You see, the passing of the years of our lives brings many changes simply because we are not immutable. We are changeable. And therefore, there is a variety of times that comes upon every one of us gathered here this evening, among men in general. You will hear people talking about good times and bad times and happy times and sorrowful times. Men use these terms and use these very words every day. The life of man, therefore, is marked and interspersed by such times. In fact, when you read the Word of God and study it, you will find that Solomon reminds us very clearly in his words in Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1, "To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven." And then he goes on from there to speak of the different and the necessary times that pass over all of us, bringing a huge variety of changes and developments that we face day by day, month by month, and year by year. But even though David here speaks of a plurality of times and a variety of times and the fact that he was not immutable, as none of us is, you'll notice as well that he's very personal at the same time, because he says, "My times are in Thy hands." Notice here that David does not speak generally. He's not speaking for other people. Now he could have, because he was king, he was leader in Israel and in the nation and in the church of God in those days, and therefore he could have said "our times" and would have done so very rightly. But he says "my times" because David here is a man who realizes that he must contend personally with the situations and the affairs that affected his life.
He did not see himself, therefore, as a kind of a nonentity, someone who could live through this world in a situation or in a status where he was, as it were, unknown or had nothing to do with life or whatever. No, he's a man who realizes that he had a life to live, that he had times to go through. They were personal, they were individual, they were most certainly his. And he has to face them, and he has to deal with them, as every one of us here tonight has. You see, men and women, we cannot see ourselves as those who can hide in the great ocean of the sea of humanity. We cannot hide ourselves away and, as it were, take up the position where we don't have to face life or face decisions or face times and circumstances and developments. We just cannot do that. Whether we are saved or unsaved, we've got to face the fact that there are times that affect us individually and personally. And that is what David is dealing with here in the words of this great text. My times are in thy hand. And the question therefore arises as to how we who are so mortal and we are weak and we are impotent in ourselves are going to contend with the times that we have to pass through. And I put that to us individually. How can you, as an individual, contend with your times that you are going to have to face? And remember what that word times really refers to. It refers just not to, as I put it, days or months or the different segments of time in that sense, but it refers to circumstances and challenges and developments and all these things that come our way. How can you, how can I face all that? Considering what we are, mortal, weak, hopeless and helpless, and above all, sinful. How can we face it? Well, as we look here at the words of our text, my times are in thy hand. We have in these words a message that enables us to face the new year and a message that will also take us by the grace of God through all that we will confront in the year that is ahead. My times are in thy hand. Think of the message that is in those words. My times are in thy hands. It is first of all a message of security. My times are where? In thy hand. Is there not there a great message of security? Whenever David wrote this, as you may have noticed as we read through the psalm, he was in a situation of great adversity and great trial, personally speaking. And yet, he can speak here with the greatest confidence and the greatest security, because he knew that he and his times, that is all the circumstances that he faced and that he confronted, he knew that all of that was in the hand of the Lord. And therefore, his words here, his message here, is most certainly a message of security. And look with me at the basis of that security. You see, he refers here to the hand of God. My times are in thy hand, he says. He speaks of God's hand. But he already has spoken of that hand earlier in the psalm. If you go back to verse 5, you'll notice it there. He says, into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Notice as he speaks there of the hand of God as well, that he does so as someone who had been redeemed. And therefore, he sees himself in the hand of God. That is, he as an individual, as a personal human being, was right in the very hand of the Lord. And being in the hand of the Lord, he knew that everything else that pertained to him, these times that he mentions, they were also in the hand of the Lord. And that means that the basis of his message of security and his feeling of security and his knowledge of security, the basis of all that was that he was a redeemed man. He says in verse 5, "Into thy hand I commend my spirit, or I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." What is it to be in the hand of God? It is to be a person who is redeemed. There are many in this world and in this land this evening who bethink themselves to be in the hand of God. They have that notion, they have that idea, maybe because of some acquaintance with the things of God, the Word of God, or it may not have anything at all to do with any acquaintance with Scripture, but they try to convince themselves that they're in the hand of the Lord. And yet we are shown here this evening that the only way to be in the hand of God, and therefore to have security in your life concerning your times and all that will come upon you, the only basis for that is to be in the hand of God through redemption. The redemption that is found in Christ Jesus. Now just take up that thought with me. David's in the hand of God. His times are in the hand of God. The basis for all that is because he's redeemed. And look at John chapter 10, please. And notice here in that great chapter, reference made to the hand of the Lord and redemption. The very same line of thought that David has taken up in this great psalm. Turn to John chapter 11. And notice with me there how the psalmist can speak in this very same vein of thought. He says in verse 11 of John chapter 10, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." This is the Lord Jesus speaking of himself as the shepherd of the sheep who has given his life for the sheep. Now there is the truth of redemption. What is redemption? We must pause and think with that a moment or two and refresh our minds with what that means. Redemption and redemption of the soul is the work of Jesus Christ in giving himself for his people, for guilty men and women, for sinners like us. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." That is redemption. Redemption by the blood. Because the life given is indeed a reference to the shedding of the blood of Christ. Because the blood is the life. So the Lord is speaking here of redemption. Redemption of sinners through the shedding of the blood. Now go down to verse 28. On the basis of what he says in verse 11, "I am the good shepherd," he says this in verse 28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Notice the connection between the hand and redemption. Why are the people of God, why are those who trust in Christ in the hand of the Lord? Because the Lord gave himself for them. He redeemed them by his blood. And therefore, having bought them and having secured them for himself, they're in his hand on the basis of redemption. And to them he gives this eternal life. And he says, "No one can pluck them out of my hand." He goes on to say in verse 29, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." You have a double security there. We're in the hand of Christ. And by virtue of being in the hand of Christ, we're in the hand of the Father also. What is the meaning of this? Well, it's very simple. It's very plain. The Lord Jesus Christ, in giving himself for his people, in dying for the sheep, placed them into his own hand, as it were into the nail-pierced hand, the hand that was smitten. In other words, the shepherd who was smitten in the giving of his life has actually taken sinners and brought them into his own hand, into his own keeping. But in doing that, he has placed them in the Father's hand as well. Because you can't be in Christ's hand and not be in the hand of the Father also. If we're joined to Christ, we're joined to the Father.
there's a double security. And therefore, it is clear and plain from Scripture that to be in the hand of God rests upon the basis of redemption. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, said as He was dying on the cross. Father, into Thy hand I commend My spirit. He used those very words that are found in our psalm tonight. Because those words of David in verse 5, where he refers to committing his spirit into the hand of God, is indeed a prophecy. And those words were quoted by Christ on the cross. Father, into Thy hand I commend My spirit. But remember something. When the Lord commended Himself into the hand of the Father at the cross, it was not an isolated act. He was actually commending Himself and all His people in that same action into the Father's hand. Because the Lord didn't die in isolation. And the Lord did not give up the ghost in isolation. It was all for us. There He was redeeming His people. And as He commended Himself to the Father, He was commending all of His own to the Father. When we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that we are indeed in His hand and in the hand of the Father also, because of our Redeemer's work, because of the paying of the price, because of the precious blood. Stephen knew that. As he came to die. Remember the very words that Stephen used as the stones fell upon him. He said, Lord Jesus, receive My spirit. And he was thinking what the Lord had said on the cross, undoubtedly. And he could commend his own spirit to the Lord as he was on the very threshold of death. Why? Because he knew the Redeemer. And knew he was in the hand of the Redeemer. And as Stephen was about to expire, he knew that his soul would be safely carried to glory, because through redemption and by the blood of His blessed Savior, He was in the hand of God. Let me ask you this evening, is this message of security one that you can personally take to yourself? Have you ever, my friend, come to that place where you by faith alone have commended yourself, your life, your being, your times, your whole existence, your whole future into the hand of God? The psalmist says here, as we look at that Psalm 31:5, He has done this. Into Thine hand I commit My spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Let me tell you, sinner, there is a foundation for this security. It is redemption. And you can only be in the hand of the Lord upon the basis of the blood of Christ. And on that basis alone, there is no other foundation. Some of you sitting here tonight, as you face 2003, that is, as you face an unknown, an uncharted path or course stretching out ahead of you, do not have that relationship with God. Do not have that place of security. Because though you know the story of redemption, and though you know the whole truth of the gospel to a great degree, yet you have never personally, like David, said, I commend My spirit to Thee into Thine hand on the basis of redemption through the blood. Therefore, you have no security. You have no stability. You have no hope, not merely for a year that is looming before you, is about to dawn, but you have none of that with regard to the entire future. Whatever time may be before you, whatever there may be left of your life in this world, you do not have this message of security personally
and individually in your heart, because you have never commended yourself to the God of redemption. You have never trusted in the blood of the cross. And therefore, my dear friend, you cannot really say at all, my times are in thy hand, because you're not in his hand.
Do you not see the need to come to Jesus Christ and trust him as the psalmist had done, and rest in the work of the Redeemer? And therefore, through faith in the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the cross, be able to say, my times are in thy hand. It's a message of security. That's the basis of the message, the redemptive blood, the whole work of grace. Look at the blessedness of this security as well. Because when a person can say that his times are in God's hand because of having been redeemed, he certainly has a blessed security. If he and all his times are in the hand of God, then there follows the blessedness of having God intimately and personally near and close. How close to God is the one who is in the hand of God? Think about it that way. He can say, my times are in thy hand, because he is in the hand of God. And the blessedness of that security is that there is the most intimate and close relationship that ever could be known or experienced between this man David or other people like him and the God of heaven. Imagine it. Just not his circumstances, just not the development of his life, but he himself is in the hand of God, and that is why everything else is secure. That indeed is a blessed security. That means that everything, you see, is under divine control. To have our times in the hand of God means that we, and all about us, are at his disposal. And all that we are, and all that comes upon us, are under divine control and wisdom and arrangement. We're in the hand of the one who controls the whole universe. This mighty hand of God in which the believer is found is a hand that upholds all things, that keeps everything in motion, that keeps all of the heavenly bodies, for example, in their places. This same hand that David said he was in because of redemption is that great hand of God. And therefore, what a blessed security that is. It means that we're under his control. We're under his guidance. But even more than that, men and women, this is a blessed security because we're under his care. To be in the hand of God through redemption and by the blood of Christ is not only to be controlled and directed and guided. It is to be under that care that shall never fail. The Lord providing for every need. The Lord always present. The Lord right by us. We by him. We in his hand. He holding us and keeping us and preserving us. Caring for us. This is the message of this great text. My times are in thy hand. The basis of it is redemption. The blessedness of this security is the control and the care and the keeping power of our God. Remember what Abraham discovered on Mount Moriah as he faced a situation in which he did not know what to do. What did he discover? He discovered what he expressed in the name that he gave to that place. Jehovah Jireh. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. The Lord will provide. There's a man
who knew that his times were in the hand of God. He was a redeemed man. He himself was in that secure position. And therefore he knew that God not only would control and guide and lead and direct, but that God would care for him. And when his son Isaac said, "Where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham's confident answer was, "God will provide himself a lamb." God did that. And therefore he said, "This is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide." And you will notice in that great story in Genesis 22:14, where he used that name, Jehovah Jireh, that he was confident that God would take care of him because he looked at everything through what he had just witnessed. What had he witnessed? He had witnessed a demonstration, a preview of Calvary. He had seen the lamb or the ram provided, caught by its horns in the thicket, brought to die in Isaac's place, his blood shed, it offered up as a sacrifice. He had seen Christ. He had seen the Lamb of God in type. And when he saw that, he could go on to say, "Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide." And my dear friend, why do we know that God will provide? Why do we know that God will care for us in the year that lies ahead? How do we know that God will care for us and control us and take us through? Because of the cross. We must always come back to that. The basis and the blessedness of this message of security all revolve around Calvary. We've seen that already in redemption in the very psalm itself. And now we see it as we develop this thought. David could say, "My times are in thy hand. God will not fail. God will provide. God will care for me." Because the God who gave his Son to provide the redemption that we needed, will he fail them to provide or care for us as we go through the year that's ahead of us, the times that will come upon us? No, he will not fail. Paul saw that. "He that spared not his own Son, but freely delivered him up for us all." Romans 8:32. "How shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" See that, Christian, as you stand on the threshold of this new year. It's not only sure that God will bring you through this year because he's brought you through this year that's now almost gone by, but it is sure that he will bring you through this coming year because of the cross. Because of Calvary. Because Christ reminds us of Jehovah Jireh. God provided the lamb, and therefore Abraham knew that God would not fail him. We see God providing the lamb at the cross, redeeming his people by the blood of Calvary. That indeed is the very basis and blessedness of this message of security. My times are in thy hand. Dear believer, you have trusted God to save your soul from hell on the basis and the blessedness of the finished work of Christ. Can you, therefore, not trust him for anything else and everything else that you will ever face? That you'll ever confront? Of course you can. See that tonight. And see that great message of security and take it to your heart and take it to your soul. As a message also of serenity. Serenity or peace. Remember that David here is going through very difficult times. The times that he mentions, the circumstances that he has in view here, they are not imaginary. You only have to read this psalm, and you will discover that David faced great foes and many foes, but he was serene with regard to his foes. Look at the rest of verse 15, where our text is found. The words that we're focusing on are these: my times are in thy hand. But look at the rest of the verse: deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. There's a play in the words there. You see, there is the hand of the Lord, the hand of the Redeemer, but there's also the hand of the enemy. And David faced not one enemy, but many enemies. And yet, he has peace. He has this serenity, as I call it, because the hand that held him was the hand that would deal with his foes. Now, those foes of David's dealt with him despicably, as he reveals in this psalm. Look at verse 11. He was reproached. I was a reproach among all mine enemies. Look at verse 12. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. Verse 13. He is slandered. I've heard the slander of many. On and on he goes through the whole psalm, speaking of the ways in which the enemy treated him, slandering him, reproaching him, conspiring against him. And what does David do? What's his response? Look at verse 14. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. Why? Because my times are in thy hand. Therefore, he says, deliver me from the hand of the enemy. He's serene concerning his foes because he's in the hand of God. And therefore, no matter what his foes might do, they cannot destroy him. They may slander him. They may reproach him. Yea, they may even slay David. But they could not take him out of the hand of his God. Dear believer, that's what brings peace, serenity, to the soul of the believer as he faces his times. It's a message of serenity. It's a message that reminds us that no matter what the circumstances are, be it foes, be it fear, because he mentions his own personal fear throughout this psalm. And indeed, he is not a stoic. He had feelings. He realized that he was in danger. He was but a man, and he felt it deeply. And the whole way through the psalm, as he speaks of all of this that was arrayed against him by his enemies, he expressed his fear. Look at verse 2. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. Is that not the language of a man who fears the enemy? Of course it is. So he was a man with many, many fears. And we have not time to look any more at that. But at the same time, there is a peace. And that's the remarkable thing about the child of God. We have our fears. Every one of us, every believer has got certain fears. Things that come to disturb us, causing us to be perplexed. But even when they come, there is a serenity at the very same time. Why? Because our times are in the hand of God. Therefore, there is peace. Peace in the soul. Peace in the mind. Peace in the heart. Peace concerning the future. He was serene concerning his future, obviously, from what he says right here. A message of serenity. And then also, it is a message, as we close tonight, a message of solemnity. My times are in thy hand. You see, this is a recognition that all that would come upon David was actually appointed by God. My times are in thy hand. Whatever was going to come was appointed by God. And the solemnity of that, as I close this evening, I want to apply to the unsaved right here. Because all that I've been saying this evening basically has been for God's people. And you need a word as you stand on the threshold of this new year. But the very words that David uses here can be applied as well to those who are not saved. This is why it is a message of solemnity. While these words were spoken by a man of God, a child of God, in his wrestlings, in his fightings, in his great trials of life, as a believer in God and in Christ, yet at the same time, we can take these words and we can say to you who are not saved that your times, in a very real sense, are in the hand of God. What I'm simply saying is, God has appointed the times that affect you. There is the day, the time when you were born. Who brought you into this world? Really, it was the God of heaven who gave you life. Your time in regard to your birth was under God's sovereign control. There are all the times that have passed over you to this very moment. All that has happened in your life has been under the hand of God. And therefore, my friend, there's a time for you to die. That is in God's appointed calendar of events for you. There's a time to be born, there's a time to die, there's a time of judgment. All of this is infallibly set by Almighty God, by a sovereign God. And therefore the message of these words, the solemn message of these words, is that since you as a creature are in the hand of God, and He has control over your life and your very existence, need to seek that God, know that God, trust that God, and have that God to be your Savior. That's the solemnity of this message that's before us tonight. How solemn it is for you to be on the threshold of another year and yet still not know Jesus Christ. My dear friend, there is no greater tragedy than that. Going into the future without God, without Christ, without hope. Facing inevitable appointments. Death. Departure from this world. Going out into God's eternity. To answer for your sin. To stand before the judge of all the earth. And yet, you are not saved. That is solemn. That is serious. But that is what comes before us right here. In these words that we're looking at tonight. My times are in thy hand. Oh dear sinner, see that tonight. Dwell on that tonight. Focus on that. Your time, all of your time, every part of it, is in the hand of God. And there's a moment pointed out for you in which you will leave this world. How can you leave this world without Christ? That's the simple reality of your state and your condition without Christ. Therefore, how can you dare to die facing God's eternity, facing God's wrath? How can you dare to die? I urge you this night, with David's words before us, to come to David's Redeemer, to come to David's God. Trust Him as your very own. Come, my dear friend, and place yourself into the hands of the Almighty. Commit your spirit to Him, as David puts it here. Enter into the new year rightly and properly as any person should by trusting in the finished work of Christ, in the blood of Calvary, in the Redeemer's work. Thank God, the Lord will save those who will trust Him and who will rest in His own dear Son. And this night I would plead with you, young or old, whoever you are, to begin the new year as you should, by coming to Christ, by trusting Him, by resting in the work of the Son of God, who loved a sinner like you, gave Himself for a sinner like you. Come to David's God. Come to David's Savior. Come and be saved. Let us bow together as we come to the close of our meeting. Trust the Lord will bless His word to us and write it on our hearts for His own glory. Thank God for His mercy to us. Hand upon us in so many ways. Every believer here tonight needs to be thankful, be grateful. Each one of us needs to, by God's grace, rededicate ourselves to His cause, His work, His kingdom. For a year that's before us, may every Christian, by God's grace, endeavor to go through with Him as He leads and guides and directs. What about you who are not saved? As we close tonight, may I say to you, the Lord is merciful. The Lord has brought you safely through. You're still here in the land of the living. You've been spared for many new years, perhaps. And here's another one. Yet you're not saved. Is it not time to seek the Lord? Surely it is. And may you seek Him this night. What better time to come to Christ than this very beginning of another year? May you come. If you want to talk with me and wait behind and seek counsel and prayer, please do so. I'll be glad to see you. Be my joy to talk with you. May the Lord help you. May you seek Him even while He is to be found. Seek Him this night. May God give us all a godly new year, a blessed new year. Take us through it as He spares and leads. Again, may the unconverted come to Him for His glory. O God, our Father, use Thy word, write it on our hearts, make it a blessing to Thy people. Make it a word in season to the unsaved. We pray, Lord, that they will indeed come to that Christ who is able to do for them all that is necessary, all that they do indeed need upon their souls, within their lives. O God, bring them to the Christ of God, and bring them even this night, and save them by Thy matchless grace. Part us with Thy blessing. Give travelling mercies to all. Keep Thy good hand upon us. And watch over us, we pray. For we ask all this in Jesus' name, and for His sake, and for His glory. Amen.